the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Every time, I swear to God. I'm your host, Christine Lincoln.
I'm your host, Alaa Khaled.
And this week, we have a very special podcast.
Yes. Do you guys remember the Mickey Mouse Club?
Do I?
Mm-hmm. The new Mickey Mouse Club?
Of course. I auditioned and didn't make it past the first round.
Well, I can understand why.
How dare you?
But these two guests that we have did make it. What? And the first person we have is Miss Dee Dee Magno. What's your new name, Dee Dee?
It's Dee Dee Magno Hall.
Hall.
Ooh, hyphenate. I love a hyphenate.
There's actually no hyphen. I dropped my middle name, my given middle name, which was Lynn. And I made my maiden name my middle name.
Oh, yes.
That over.
Yeah.
And took my husband's name, Hall.
But in the business, are you Dee Dee Magno or Dee Dee Magno Hall?
I'm Dee Dee Magno Hall, both legal and in my business world.
Okay, good. And then we also have Albert Jean Fields, who's late, but he'll be here any minute. Late is late.
That's what he always says to me anytime we go to a meeting, and I'm like 1 minute late. Late is late.
And you guys were the originals of the
New Mickey Mouse Club.
The New Mickey Mouse Club.
That is correct.
Along with Tiffany Hale, Chase Hampton, Damon Pampolina,
Raquel, Lindsay Alley, Josh Ackerman.
Yes.
Jennifer McGill.
Yep. Brandy
Brown.
Yep.
There was Braden Danner for the original cast.
Right. It was a big cast.
A big cast. Now I'm thinking there's more, and I'm running a blank. If I had a picture next to
what
me.
What year did this start, the new Mickey Mouse Club?
1989.
Right. And I was living in Orlando. I've known you guys for almost 30 years.
This is true.
Wow. Yes.
Thank you so much for having us on your show,
Oh my gosh. We're all about, you know, nostalgia. We're all about friends, and we're all about worst ever stories. So yeah. I feel like you really tick all those boxes, Dee Dee.
You were living in San Diego when you auditioned, Dee Dee?
I was living in San Diego, yes.
Wow, so you auditioned like across the country.
I actually auditioned in Los Angeles first.
Okay.
And then...
How old were you?
I was 11 and a half, 12 years old. Yeah.
And you drove up from San Diego.
Yes.
With your parents, I
imagine. Yes. My parents wrote a doctor's note to get me out of school early.
No way.
Yes. And then my dad he was retired from the Navy at that time. So he had some free time to drive me from school to Los Angeles and sat through the traffic to and from many times a week for numerous auditions. For television, film, commercials, what have you. And the Mickey Mouse Club was my first big break.
Do you remember what you sang?
Yeah. I sang for my very first audition. I sang New York, New York.
Was that kind of your like go-to audition song?
You know, it was. It kind of was. My Frank Sinatra go-to Broadway baby song that I sang. And I remember my mom and dad coaching me. My mom, she used to dance Filipino. I'm of Filipino descent.
I'm sorry. My dog has just started a baby toy.
Oh.
So your mom was a dancer. You're Filipino.
I'm Filipino,
that straight.
Yes.
I love me a lumpia.
Okay. Yes, I know you do.
I love lumpia.
Delicious.
So good.
And a pandesal.
Yes. Yes.
And then You sang New York, New York mm-hmm. for, what was the casting director, Matt Casella? No, what was the, no.
You know, Matt Casella was the casting director, but I honestly don't think that I auditioned for him. I auditioned for a team in Los Angeles, but I don't remember Matt being there. But I could just have been oblivious to it. I auditioned initially in Los Angeles, and then what I remember, the callback was for the screen test in Orlando. So that's what happened then.
So you had to fly out to Orlando.
Yeah, they flew me out to Orlando.
Okay, but so they flew you. That's nice.
Yes.
More than I got.
So you screen tested there. How many kids?
There were they're a big handful of kids, and some of them who were hired for the cast, and then a few that I remember were not hired, and one of them was Donnie Jeffcoat.
Oh my God!
I know Donnie Jeffcoat.
Yes. I used to live with Donnie Jeffcoat.
Jeez, Donnie this is really becoming we, 6 degrees.
We love Donnie Jeffcoat. We actually had our oldest son take karate from Donnie Jeffcoat.
Oh, yeah, he's a dojo
school.
Now.
Yes.
From an actor to a dojo. Yeah.
Yes, and he's going back into acting. I'm so happy.
Good for him.
So, yeah. So then, is this, at that time, did they do the camp with you guys?
This was sort of like a camp. The camp actually happened after everybody was hired, and it was during before the pilot. So during the pilot, I think that was more like that camp.
And Christine will know this person. Gary Spatz was the acting coach on the show.
Who was yes, my first he was one teacher in
yeah.
LA.
He was one of a handful of right. acting coaches there.
So you make it through the camp, and now you're shooting the pilot, and your whole family is being uprooted.
Are people getting like eliminated during the camp?
You know, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to as a camp because
I know in later seasons they started doing a camp where it would literally be like a Mouse Club camp, and then they would start cutting people from the camps.
So they would do like dance and music, acting and music
and sort of feel what they were excelled in, and that might be during the Carrie Russell days. And,
maybe,
yeah.
maybe that was after my time there because I remember for the screen test, which I guess is equivalent to this camp you're talking about. Yeah. We were there for hours.
So,
we used to be roommates. Remember that?
Oh my God!
I'm so sorry.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Okay.
So
during this camp, my camp, right. whatever you want to call it, the screen test, mm-hmm. we had to improvise. We had to sing a song of our choice that we brought to the table, which
wow.
my choice of song was Flashdance, What a Feeling.
Of course.
Of course.
That feels like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, it was absolutely. I had leg warmers and everything. And then we also sang the Mickey Mouse Club March because that was a requirement. We did little skits and things mm-hmm. together. And we learned some choreography, and all the while the video cameras were rolling and videotaping the entire thing.
My gosh, it was like a reality show, but they didn't know it was.
Well, we knew the cameras were on. We didn't know when they turned on and off, though.
Sure, sure.
We didn't know that they were on the entire time. And we were all mic'd so they could pick up every little thing. And I remember being terrified of the improvisation part because I don't like improvising. I get very nervous. I like to have a script in my hand. I like to memorize things. And, you know, I've never taken an improv class. So my hat's off to anybody who does that because it's terrifying. That and also comedians. I don't know how they do it. But anyway, we had to pretend that a fan had written us a letter. And then they each gave us a blank piece of paper, and we were just supposed to pretend that this was a letter that we got from a fan.
Oh God!
And
awkward.
I should have thought of this because Jennifer McGill did. Mm-hmm. She wrote the entire thing down, and she just read from her paper. I should have just done that. Instead, I tried to improvise a letter, and you know, not knowing that this microphone was picking up every little thing. I remember trying to come up with this letter, and I came up with a name of a girl I remembered in San Diego where I was from, and I was just like I'm talking out of my, you know, and I don't even remember what I said. All I do remember is saying, oh God, under my breath, and it was picked up because I remember,
of course,
I saw a videotape right. later and I heard the oh God. That was terrifying for me.
But they
hired you anyway.
They did. But you know what? Maybe it's because I was the only Asian girl there.
Well, the whole cast, I mean, if you try to Google Mickey Mouse Club, what year was it? Like 80,
89, 89, 90s,
and look at
90s.
The cast photo, the poster. It was like literally like a Benetton ad.
Yeah.
I mean, every culture was represented.
I think Disney's always been really good about that.
Yes.
Diversity. And
you guys put the Disney Channel on the map. Because it was the launch of the Disney Channel.
It really was. This was the flagship, I feel like.
Right.
Show.
It's like when cable networks first started.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big deal back in the day.
And how old when you started the show, technically?
About 12.
Okay.
11, 12. 12.
And 12. How many years were you on it?
The singing group, the party stemmed off of, right.
we'll
the Mickey
get to
Mouse
that.
Club.
Yeah.
But I'm just remembering that I was about 15, 16 when that started. So
okay,
a few years.
But it was about seven or eight seasons, right?
I think I only was there for like three or four.
And then you moved to Orlando?
Yes, God bless my family. So I grew up in San Diego.
Yeah.
Where my dad was in the U.S. Navy. I was born in Portsmouth, Virginia, first of all. Then we moved to San Diego because my dad was stationed there. My mom was working as a nurse in a hospital. I have an older brother and two younger sisters. And when I got the Mickey Mouse Club, we uprooted the entire family and
wow.
We drove cross country to Orlando and my dad had to get a new job. My mom got a new job. My brother and my sisters adjusted to new schools and made new friends.
Wow.
And I was like living my dream. So,
I mean, that's huge.
It is. It's pretty huge.
Her whole family is very talented also. I mean, your sister sings like an angel, too.
Yes, yeah.
And your brother.
My brother also sings, and they all dance really well, too.
They were really talented.
Yeah, yeah.
My youngest sister is a musician. She's a singer-songwriter. They were, but I think I was the only one who made it a profession. Everybody else went to school and got real jobs sacrifice. I can't even begin to tell you how much I am. So
and you're going literally. You're going through like your adolescence on the show. I mean, you're literally everything.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Been
That's
there,
okay.
girl. Been there, girl.
Yeah, I mean, she was on a show since she was a kid. So yeah.
What show is this?
Step by Step.
Step by Step. Wait a minute.
So I did the same thing.
First I know
bras,
you.
First periods. All
I
the
know you.
So
I know you.
So you can relate. You guys went through your girly things
we did.
Together.
That's
we did.
Awesome.
On television.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love that show.
Thanks. So, same.
So your parents ended up living there even after Mouse Club. They just made it their home.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando was it.
Yeah.
And then, because there were kids that were coming in and out of the show during your seasons, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they literally were either leaving the show because it was too much pressure, or they were getting recast.
Right, right.
And a lot of it had to do with age, too. Like, if they wanted to keep it a certain age group, and you know, the youngest person, I think, was Josh and Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were how old? They were like...
I think they were nine.
Yeah.
Nine or ten. Or
and the oldest was...
Rocky was about 15.
Right. And it was almost like the cutoff at that point during that year.
15 was kind of the cutoff.
And then we had Fred and Moeva who were the hosts,
right.
The adult hosts.
And they did sketches and everything the whole thing. And then...
I always like to call it like Saturday Night Live for kids.
It was.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. It was. Except you guys really sang and performed, and
they really sing and perform on Saturday Night
Live. I know
that,
but
they're all very musical. I'm always blown away by their talent. What?
But they didn't have like recording voices like you guys did for most of you, except for Dan.
Anna Gastar went off to do Wicked.
Yes,
she
Anna
played,
Gastar.
She
yes,
played Elphaba, and
she has an amazing voice.
Take it easy, guys.
Okay, whatever. You calm down. Know your shit.
All right, so then you became a family on the show. I mean, you had your cliques, right?
Right.
It was very sibling almost. Like, you guys were like brothers and sisters.
Sort of.
Not sort of. I mean, I was there. I remember it was like literally like your brothers and sisters.
Yes, of course. Of course.
You
are working family.
You're a working family. You see each other every day. What kind of hours were you guys working?
We would get there 9 o'clock, start school for 3 hours, have a lunch break, and then either go into rehearsals or tape for the show. So we would go 1 week of rehearsals and then 1 week of taping. And then every once in a while, they'd pull us out of school to shoot a music video or do some on-location stuff. And then when we weren't being used for any filming, then we would go back to school and bank hours so that they could pull us out some other time.
I mean, it got to the point where a lot of the kids at that time would go stir crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was a lot of...
I mean, we were... It was like...
You were teenagers and young... you were kids.
Right. Surrounded by adults.
Right. Who are shooting the show, but you guys are the show. So there is some... Obviously, there's some diva-ness happening.
Oh, diva-ness.
There is definitely...
Not from me.
Not from Dee Dee Magno. I can say that for sure. Not when Albert gets here, he's going to be the main diva.
well, he's late, so yeah, he's already so the
he's
diva.
He's already
so
the
fine.
Diva.
Late is late. Late so, is late.
But so there's like a lot... I mean, I remember it was like almost like high school for or junior high school for you guys. Like, there was 1 week where they all loved each other. There's some weeks where they all hated each other.
Sure.
And they just... It was... It's okay, Dee Dee. It's a normal thing.
No, I'm not. Okay. Why
well,
did
you're
you
giving that face.
It's just my face, Ella. It's just my face.
Your heart says so sweet, but your face looks so angry.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just
Where
saying.
Are the cameras?
God.
Can we have viewers maybe make that assumption, you know?
Anyways, it was a lot of pressure, a lot of memorization, a lot of music. You had.
When did, like.
Albert Joan Fields just entered the room. We were just talking Mouse Club.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
We're going to get back to Dee Dee, but where were you? You were from Chicago or Gary, Indiana?
Gary, Indiana.
Take that out of your mouth.
I'll take the lollipop out. I have an oral fixation. Yes.
How old?
Gary, Indiana. 12.
And how did you find, like, did the Mouse Club come to you and you saw, like, a poster and it was like, come audition?
No, I was, I know. I'm sorry. Okay. I was working. I was,
He was doing jingles and stuff.
Jingles
okay.
He was in the ballet.
Child voice
Weren't
actor.
You in the ballet?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Chicago City Ballet, the youngest person.
Oh.
Ever. And of ethnicity, by the way.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when did you, at what age were you when you joined the Mouse Club?
12.
12.
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys are we're really close in age.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
we are the same age.
Yeah.
And I'm March. She's April. I'm March. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Crazy. So wait, let me ask a question. This is where I was. So, like, we know that you know at one point, like Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and all of them they were all on at one point. When did that happen in your
in
trajectory
relationship to us? Yeah.
Of the Mouse Club.
Well, I think the best way to put it, if you don't mind me helping you out here, is that. Through the seasons, as they got older, right?
Yes.
The boy band age started happening with New Kids on the Block.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney saw an opportunity for taking the five oldest Mouseketeers and creating a music group and launching a new record label called Hollywood Records.
Yes.
So...
I remember that.
Because the five that were in that were the older was Albert, Dee Dee,
mm-hmm.
Tiffany, Damon, and Chase.
And you guys became the party.
They became the party.
Got it.
Yeah, the ones from the original cast.
Got it.
Because they didn't want to lose. Disney did not want to They were, I have to say.
They were like the stars.
They were the stars of the show. You guys were the stars of the show.
Oh.
Well, who else would have been?
Well, you guys lasted the longest.
Raquel Herring.
But Raquel didn't make it through all the seasons.
No, but she was like, she was the superstar at the time, too, because she was a Star Search winner. Do you remember that show?
Oh, of course.
She was a huge Star Search winner.
I also auditioned for that. Didn't make it. True story.
We also had, you know, a guy from Menudo
on
the show.
Right. Yeah, Ricky.
Not just the soup.
also
not
a
the
boy
suit,
band.
the boy band.
Yes, I remember it.
Yes,
well, not just the suit.
So there were several stars.
Sure,
on the show.
But even during your season,
dude, he's being humble and modest.
I know that. You could be honest.
Yeah.
No, there are lots of stars.
I get that. But what I'm saying is, at that time, Disney was like, "We're not going to lose these
right.
because, like
they're
I said,
older,
it was
the
foundation. What can we do with them?
We like them.
They also wanted to get that Benetton ad-looking thing.
We were exactly that.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we said earlier. We mentioned it earlier before you got here, and we were talking about how the hours that you guys worked, like it was like crazy.
If Florida had child labor laws, the show would have never happened.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, we worked like 80 hours a week and went to school. It was insane.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Dee Dee before you got here that you guys went sort of stir crazy.
Yeah.
Because you were just working all the time.
I mean, there's
a
lot of rehab. There's a lot. No, I'm just playing.
No. They did, yes, he is kidding. But they did provide a therapist.
Did they
really? For the kids.
Interesting.
Yeah, because, you know. You got to blame anyway.
There was a time when the executive producers did not want me to come on set because they thought I was providing Albert, Chase, and Damon with drugs
and
because
alcohol.
They were so hyper and crazy. And I was like, anti.
A lot is so square.
Oh my God,
so
the worst.
Like
so
in the
square.
Best way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was crazy because I was like, me.
One person smokes pot and he's like, oh my God.
No,
what's
we're not talking
happening
about pot.
Here?
We're talking
I have
about
to leave this
and
party.
And
there's
and
people doing
drugs. But they weren't doing drugs.
I like you.
They weren't doing drugs. They were doing. It was literally like they were sugar addicts. Yeah. Like they would stop.
Right.
They were.
But more than anything, I think it was stress. It was work.
Sure.
It was
and pent up probably sexual frustration.
Well,
they were going through their
That's what I was getting at. You're 13,
puberty.
You're 14. You know, I had 8 kids already by that time.
I get it.
And
stop.
So leave it up to Allah. That's what I had.
Yeah.
It was a lot of that, and you know, yeah, it was rough. I can't lie, it was rough. It's hard out here in
the
streets.
Happens. Okay. They put you in the studio. They're basically like, let's start writing songs. Let's start recording. Mm-hmm. And then let's just shoot you out on tour. Is that it?
Yeah. Well, they start the party, right? Yeah. But they have to now replace them.
Right. And you're like 15, 16?
Ish. Yeah. 15.
Ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they have to still replace them. So now they're on the Mickey Mouse Club as the party. They're
still on the Mickey Mouse Club.
But now they're like special guest stars.
Right.
The party.
Right.
So double duty is what
I
it was.
I remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
It was
and then
duty.
They brought in a new group to replace them. So that's when we see Carrie.
Carrie and Tony
Luca. Yeah.
Del Garbaldo.
Del.
And
J.C. Chazet.
J.C. Chazet. Who else?
Did I say Tony Luca?
Yeah, we just said Tony Luca.
Justin Timberlake.
But they
Ryan.
Came after. Like,
they came,
Justin,
they came a year after.
Yeah,
but what was interesting was like the Kerry Russells, the Tony Lucas, those guys, they were huge fans of these guys.
Right.
Like huge fans.
Of course.
Like starstruck. Which caused,
but just like them, they were, you know, getting the first audition,
right,
having
on,
watched the show.
But they're on the show and they're fans. It
yeah.
was sort
how
of,
do you know? Did they say they were fans?
I'll tell you how
he,
I know because
knows.
They used to come to the. They were fans of mine because of your record. You remember Funky Dreads?
Yes.
Right. So I used to work at the merry-go-round, which we've discussed on the podcast.
Good God.
And
fucking
Kerry Russell and those guys would come to the store. Are you Allah? Like,
no.
Yeah, I swear to God, they were in love with you
this
guys.
Is
you
have to remember. I didn't know that.
Dude, you're so isolated.
This is what's really crazy, is that I don't think anybody, and I didn't realize this until at Alyssa's birthday party, when Chris Judd came up and he's like, oh man, you gave me my first job and you're the reason why, blah, blah, blah. And I'm drunk off my ass partying like a rock star. I'm thinking to myself, who the hell is he talking to? You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, man, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you and blah, blah, blah. So then he's in Chicago, and he's like, bro, I want you to come down. And he was teaching, like, this huge class.
Right.
And he gets on the stage and gets misty. And he's like, and I'm over there crying, too, because I'm like, oh, what the hell is going on? And, you know, he's telling his big class of kids, I'm sorry, big class of kids, that that were, you know, admiring him. And I'm standing over there in the corner, you know what I mean? And he's like, he's the reason why I did it. Had me come up and blah. And it was like, so, and what I'm saying is, what I'm getting to, I'm still the same way after, you know, 40 years. You don't realize it when you're doing it because that's all you do. And you're so young. And like, I was, like I said, I was working even before that. So this whole thing was like, it was just a job.
It was just another thing.
Yeah, it was a job that became something else. And then you don't realize the impact. And like I said, she has no clue. Justin's mother said that he auditioned singing our songs.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's so why they cool. knew about the show. It's for that reason they were watching it. So,
of course.
You know what I mean?
Look, you only know what you know as a kid, right? So anything that's in front of you, that's influencing you. And it's just a matter of like, and like Allah said, you guys put Disney Channel on the map. So for so many young kids rising up, that was like the thing to watch, you know?
And we won every day. That's another
if
thing.
If you had cable.
Yeah, they were on 5 days a week,
sure, you know, 5 days a week. So right. It's like.
So, okay. So I want to get into, you've got this album coming out and they put you on tour, correct?
Well,
yes, it happened very quickly.
It happened so quick, and in fact, it happened so quick that
it was the album even out, and you were like going on tour.
Well, they had a
everything
had a
happened
single.
Simultaneously.
The first single was "Summer Vacation,"
yeah,
with Damon Pampalina doing the rap vocals. Listen, here's a little secret, and I don't care if he gets mad or not. Damon is tone deaf; he can't sing.
Yeah,
but he's a personality.
Yeah,
he's got much. He's improved.
Well, I tell you what. He has to sing a certain way, like Joe Cocker.
Yeah.
Joe Cocker sounds like absolute, okay, I don't know if this is a family show or what.
It's not a family.
Well, fucking, he sounds like shit.
Okay, great.
But he has that emotion in the thing, and he makes it work.
It's true. And it's a lot of soul.
Means.
It's then a lot of soul
a character.
In
voice.
He's a personality and a character.
Not a character. I shouldn't say character. Personality.
The dynamic between... the three boys or men at this point, because they're just going through, you know, 15, 16.
Right.
And then the two females, it's like raging hormones. They're all crazy.
Right.
The guys are always trying to one up each other. Remember when I was saying about the three girls, like when three girls work together, there's always one left out.
Yes.
That there was always that kind of situation. Chase was always like the one that was like, there was that kind of. Right. Well, it's true.
Well, it's true.
Chase
would
say
it.
The same thing.
Listen, I'm a cool urban kid. Damon's a Cajun Italian
from
Chase is
Houston.
A ginger.
Yeah,
I mean it was inevitable.
Yeah,
and he clogged danced and you know.
But you could
very talented.
But what I'm telling
he juggled
talented
too.
As fuck. Don't get me wrong.
But if you put the five of them on stage together, you couldn't get a better dynamic. Like it was simpatica. It was really, really good.
I like the casting director,
they knew exactly what they were doing.
But
they did.
I want to get back to this. So they put you on tour. Mm-hmm. And where do you go? Did you go
where
on a world
we
tour?
Yeah, we went
everywhere.
Oh,
we went all over
the
United States
too.
And Canada.
Okay.
We went on a tour bus. And the first tour that we did, we performed on truck beds. Fairs and things like that.
Yeah, it was like the
90s. And are your parents coming with you?
We had to have a guardian.
Yeah.
Allah at one point was
Chase's guardian.
And that made sense.
Yeah, that's
well,
a terrible
I was 18.
Idea.
So what happened was, this is for their second album. They came to LA to record their second album. I had just graduated high school and was moving to New York in the fall. So Chase's parents had jobs and they're like, we can't go. Will you be Chase's guardian?
Mm-hmm.
Which it was actually perfect because Chase doesn't eat anything but grilled cheese sandwiches. So like a perfect kind of thing. I got my per diem. I went shopping every day. I hung out with the moms. We had a great time. And I'm like this 18-year-old and we're like best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm making grilled cheese sandwiches for my kid that I'm, you know.
Right.
But he's like he's a year younger than me.
Actually, that is totally in your wheelhouse.
But he's like a year younger than me.
Yeah. Hanging out with moms and making grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I trust you with that.
And there was one.
You were very responsible, Allah, I remember.
Yeah, I mean, I had to, like, this one, he's like the one you gotta, Albert's the one you gotta watch out for.
Well,
he's like,
Yeah.
Crazy.
What do you mean? What like, were you I doing,
mean,
Albert?
I mean, fully shenanigans.
No, no. After, like, listen.
What shenanigans were you pulling?
This is 19, like 88, 87 to like 90s. Oh. So, you know. 87? I think it was like 87.
No, it was
88. Because I graduated high school in 90. And I came to LA the summer of 90, 91.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you guys were on your second album at that point.
Yeah, it was already going down.
Oh, my gosh. I can't remember.
Yeah, because I went to New York in 90. I started in New York in 91 or 90, fall of 90.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, fall of 91. So, yeah, it was earlier than you think.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
And the things that these guys did, not Dee Dee, of course.
Never.
But everyone else, including Tiffany, I have to say, she was a little crazy too. And in the sense of like having fun and doing.
I didn't like to have fun. You would get arrested now.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like crazy shit.
What are you talking about? Well,
there were points where Damon on airplanes would literally steal the life vest from under the thing.
We'd get to a hotel.
He'd hide in the closet or whatever. We'd walk into his room and he'd jump out and pull life vest. And
right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like and then the they pools, would like explode, you know, you run, and go open. Jump in the
pool. Yeah, yeah.
You probably would get arrested.
Yeah, he would do this all the time. For sure. So let's get back to the band.
The group. Yes, sorry.
So the party. Hollywood Records sort of gets because of Vanilla Ice. This is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So because of Vanilla Ice?
Well, because. Go ahead.
Okay. Under pressure.
Yes.
Peter Petrono, who was the president at the time, was making great business decisions, as we can tell, and bought the Queen Library.
Got it.
Vanilla Ice sampled Under Pressure.
And it went huge.
Without asking for it.
So huge, I feel like.
So one of the conditions in the lawsuit was we got to go on a tour with them.
I did not know this.
You did not know that, Dee Dee?
I did not know this.
So
we are literally on tour.
They went from fairs
the biggest
to
artists at
the
time.
So you're on the back of like a truck, literally like peddling your wares to all of a sudden on tour with, at the time, one of the biggest recording artists in pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
Well, we did first, we did the truck beds and then
she wants to make sure that you know we put in our dues and we're on spoiled jackasses.
Well, no, I get it.
And we did the radio station tour.
Yeah.
You know, did all that, trying to shop our records.
And promo.
All of the marketing stuff.
Yeah, this was like at the time when Teen Beat and all those magazines were huge.
Right.
They were on every single cover. It was them and New Kids on the Block.
And Andrew Keegan.
Yes. And the Step by Step cast.
Step by Step.
Oh, my goodness. But then we opened up for High Five and Taylor Dane and
LL
Color
Cool
Me
J.
Color Me Bad. No, not LL Cool
I
J.
saw you guys in Tampa with LL Cool J. Okay, you opened up for him one.
Did we?
Yes.
No.
I was there.
I think I was high.
I don't remember that.
Yes, you did open
I
up
did
for
see
cool
a LL Cool J concert, but
okay,
I don't remember
no,
opening
you guys
up for
performed
him.
With LL Cool J. Go ahead.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
High Five. Taylor Dane.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Color Me Bad.
Yep.
So those guys we went on tour with first.
Wow.
And then Vanilla.
I mean, we worked our ass off.
Let me ask you a question. You're opening up, let's just say, Color Me Bad. You're opening up for Color Me Bad in pick a random city. How big is this venue?
Those were the ones that were the fairs, the big.
Yeah, we did a lot of those, like open air.
I mean, they're
things.
Big.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
So it was like a business to all of you. It didn't feel like
also we were having fun. You know, I get more nervous performing now in my life than I did back when I was 13, 14, 15 years old.
That's interesting.
And they
I didn't
were
even
doing,
think about it.
They
you
were
just
doing full album tours, like full album tours with full choreography.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was a lot of like Ann Fletcher was one of the choreographers and now she's the director.
Yeah.
She used to choreograph for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go internationally on tour?
Yeah.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
They flew on the Concorde.
We did fly on the Concorde.
Tell that story, because that's funny.
Well, I'd rather you tell it. You
that
tell
was
it.
So fast.
The Concorde was like the fastest plane, yeah. But it was a.
But they weren't scheduled. They were not scheduled to fly on the Concorde.
Is it a private plane?
No, the Concorde. Well, it was. You were in Europe, and you had to get back to the States.
It was the other way.
New York.
Or you were in New York and you had to go to. But they had missed their flight or something. Yeah.
Well, you know what happened? The flight from here, something happened with the cabin pressure, and we ended up. Landed in New York. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's like flying really low. And
okay. Well, Damon probably stole one of the masks.
Yeah, he probably stole the masks.
And we're on the plane screaming, "We're all gonna die!" Because you know it's crazy. And so we landed in New York, but we had to be in London for four hours.
Big,
yeah, right. Like something crazy. So that's how the Concorde ended up happening.
And they just like, screw it, order the Concorde.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's like it's one of the most expensive flights you get.
Yes.
We got caviar. Wrong,
but you got caviar.
We got
on the
caviar,
Concorde,
and I was like, "What is
meal?" And it's like a lazy boy.
The microphone.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I went massaging you, but whatever. Right. A lazy boy massaging you.
It was like a fancy private plane.
So fancy.
I was sitting next to this old money lady that was trying to have me and my mom come visit. I hope she leaves me some money if she's still kicking. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, because I think it was like 15 grand a person or something. Yeah, crazy.
And this was like 1990.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, you know, Jay-Z said, bring back the Concorde. That's what he's talking about. I don't know if you guys are hip to the Jigga Man.
Yeah, we do.
You know.
I'm not.
I mean, there's so many crazy stories when they're on tour. So Hollywood Records, literally, they spent millions and millions of dollars on this band.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what happens is music changed in the middle of their first
music
and second
changed,
album.
And also, too, back then, you have to remember, it was a struggle of Disney was going through a transition.
Yeah.
And it was like, we were actually growing up, and so what we were doing was what was actually happening, and they wanted it to stay the way they wanted it.
Which cut to...
Sugar.
Right, but cut to Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus.
And they let them,
and that's like what you're getting these kids on these shows, Selena Gomez, and they want the kids to grow up and grow with them.
Well, trust
it's
me,
like a total,
we were
because
the
they couldn't
complete,
stop it.
Complete template
yeah.
of what to do and what not to do.
Yep.
Right. So
and
you were like
and
the,
also contractually, we were the template. You know what I mean? To go, oh, wait a minute. No, we're going to do 360. We're going to own everything.
Right.
We're going to stop. You know, that's what they started doing because they didn't do that with us.
What do you mean?
Well, see, we didn't have a... What does that mean? Well, our TV deal and our music deal was... We had two deals. It wasn't all combined.
I understand.
They didn't own them.
They didn't own them. They didn't go hand in hand.
So later on...
Oh, now they wrap it all up.
They would make one big overall deal because it's better for the network or
for
the
better
company.
Yeah, it's better for them. Yeah.
And so... They also were changing music, like, but like, you guys had like Jody Watley write songs for you. You had you had like some crazy producers.
Yeah we were
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
He wrote for the Party.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Great story too, by the way.
Jellybean Benitez.
Yes.
Jellybean. Stephen Bray.
Stephen Bray.
You know, all the Madonna stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
They spared no expense.
I mean,
the producers that we...
But the music... What was the story? Go ahead and tell the story about Dr. Dre.
Well, yeah. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy and I don't know. I don't want to sound like we were spoiled, but we were in a great situation.
Please, sound like you're spoiled.
Well, you know, I walk in and then Peter's like, well, who do you want to work with? And I'm like, shit, I'd love to work with Dre. And he's like, all right. Picks up the phone. Calls Eazy-E or something crazy. And he's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Go, well, you got to talk to Jerry or whatever. So calls Jerry Heller, blah, 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 blah. So next thing we know, he's like, go to the studio, blah, blah, blah. And it's like Suge. It's Suge and Dre in the room.
Shut up.
And Suge goes, all right, dog. Rap. Like, you know, like talking to like, it's me
what
chasing
song,
Damon.
What song was that?
It was, what they did was he gave us a CD because he didn't know, like, you know, what was going on. And it was DOC. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yes.
He was rapping on it and not rapping on it, but he wrote it and Dre rapped it. And then he wanted us to recreate it just to see where we were. You know what I mean? In terms
right,
of,
right.
you know, because he didn't know what we came from or who we were or anything. So we're just like in a meeting and he wrote three verses and we all had to do the verses.
Right.
And we're at Solar and that gangster, it's nothing about it is fake. Okay. So it's like people with, you know, AKs and it was nuts.
I remember one time we went to Bar One and then afterwards we went with one of the new kids on the block to, what was the diner? Was
John's.
Right, I'm in the car with one of the new kids on the block and I'm going, what the fuck is happening right now?
You were in the car with Jonathan Knight.
Yes, that's right. She was upset.
I was so upset.
She knows.
I was so upset.
She was angry.
They knew.
She's still mad now.
They all knew that I loved Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block.
Mm-hmm.
I still do. I love you, sweetheart. My husband, he knows why. He knows
he's
I
here.
Have a...
He knows it.
Yes, my husband's here. Clifton Hall, everybody. But yes, I had a thing for Jordan Knight. And Jordan and John were at Bar One.
Right.
Or Roxbury.
It was Bar One. We went from Bar One.
And then... They knew. Those boys knew. You knew. And
it's your fault.
And then Jonathan was like, hey, we're going to go grab something to eat. And the three boys jump in his car and leave me and Tiffany.
Rude.
Well, it was
so rude.
I don't recall such
so
activities.
Never looking out. I mean, he's never.
I can't even. I could not believe it.
Yeah, it was a weird. That was
I feel
a weird.
Rick Scott was the one who took me. And Tiff to the diner.
Scott, yeah, he was
Rick.
The publicist guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were definitely there during the days of Stacey. I know Stacey Keenan used to go out to those
bars. Oh, probably.
Bars too. Yeah.
I mean,
you're probably there the same time because I would hear stories and I'd be like, what is it like to be older and cool?
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm sure.
Then, so then the music changed. We went to the grunge. Mm-hmm. Era.
Yeah, then grunge.
Grunge happened.
Oh,
so
I got to ask you a real quick question. So I had a friend who was in a Hollywood Records band called Nobody's Angel.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sarah Smith.
Yeah.
Do you remember her?
Yes, Nobody's Angel. I just
saw a picture. Did you guys used to, but did you ever perform together?
No.
No.
No, but we you know, rehearsed
they
in
were
the same
kind
spaces
of,
together
yeah.
and all
they
that
were,
kind
like,
of stuff.
They were like the second girl group. They were like a girl group that just like splintered off.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because there was Wild Orchid, too.
Wild Orchid.
Around the same time.
With Fergie.
With Fergie.
Yeah.
Stacey. You knew her as
Stacey Ferguson.
Yeah.
So
she's
my...
Still dope.
So Jeff, my ex, was in a boy band for like a hot second called Catch Five. And this boy band opened for Wild Orchid at some kind of a school fair concert. God knows. I think it was at, Beverly Hills High, whatever. And Catch Five was a group of five guys. It was a Benetton ad. It was the same kind of, you know, situation. It was during the boy band era. He was the token white guy who could sing really high. There were like four different kind of other guys. You know, there was a black guy and a Mexican guy and et cetera, et cetera.
Sounds pretty racist to me.
And they were trying to just, you know, they were working the angles, right?
Yeah.
So Wild Orchid opens for them. And one of the guys, Benji, I'll never forget it. Stacey Ferguson goes up and she does some incredible riff and she turns around and like walks away and they're standing in the wings. And Benji turns to my boyfriend and goes, she's wearing a fall. And just continues on. When was she ever not wearing a fall? I mean, she's made a living.
I love that he knew what a fall was.
I think maybe that's the reason the boy band didn't work. Maybe.
Probably. But the difference between this band that was like no other is they had two girls.
Right.
Oh, exactly.
They had two women. That was very rare. There was nothing like that.
Yeah.
And so.
It was before. Yeah, we just said it happened too soon, I think. It was before.
You know, guys, the timing is what
screwed
you guys.
The timing is everything,
really,
isn't it? In this business, it's weird.
Yeah, because it's crazy. Because when you look at Justin and Christina and Brittany, just as talented as these guys, there's no.
Absolutely.
I mean, literally. Their timing was totally different than what you guys.
Yeah,
you know,
it was the comeback, the come around.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
it's funny because like it was all about pop and it was all about rock, right? And then it all became about grunge,
right?
And that lasted for like a good hot second.
Oh,
it
was
at least like a 3-4 year. And then it wasn't until the end of that in the early 2000s that pop hit again.
And it came back.
And it hit hard.
Backstreet Boys.
And it hit very, very hard.
And NSYNC.
Yeah.
Right. Right. It's so interesting. So, okay. So let me ask you about the end of the party. What year was that? What was the last time you guys heard you were doing, you had an album, and they were like,
I don't remember,
not
I was high.
Contract.
Well, I remember one of the last things that we did was we all auditioned for Sister Act 2 together.
That's oh, yeah, right. We did that.
That was one of the last and things that we did together.
Didi got brought,
oh, for the movie.
For the film. Yeah.
And Didi got cast in it. She was in Sister Act 2.
But we all originally.
A lot of stuff happening then, now that I remember. Now that she brought it up.
Yeah,
they were supposed to be writing something or doing something for us, and
then I think that's crazy. When it started to a little bit. There was some crumbling that was happening. Yeah. So there was some people who didn't want to do it anymore.
Right,
who didn't want to be part of this and wanted to get back to real life, and which is completely understandable.
Yeah. Sure. And you were how old at this point?
We were about 17.
Okay.
17.
Yeah, my God, old. Just an old 17.
Yeah. And you know what was crazy is that I think that it got to a point where it was they wanted to go in the direction that it needed to go in, meaning the label. Mm-hmm. And it was always that struggle, that fight with Disney going, no, they can't, you know. Yeah. And I think the label kind of just went like, look. You know, and we were feeling it too. Yeah, and we were feeling it too, kind of like, because at the time we were making some cool stuff, you know what I mean? Because we were making a record.
Yeah.
When we stopped doing it.
And then I feel like I came up with this, but the last album was
the
called
over.
The Party's Over, Thanks
for coming.
And I
wow, it's cool.
Yeah, no, sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but it's in a way, it's like.
But I'm telling you, the whole thing was crazy. Just the way that it ended, because we never really.
It was very
ended
abrupt.
It was
abrupt.
It was kind of like.
Right.
We went to a meeting, and we were all there, and people said stuff, and looking around at each other, like, what the fuck is happening?
I don't think we ever got a clear.
Vision that hey guys so
yeah there was no
we left the meeting
for what you've done
and never
and,
did it again. I mean that's kind of right.
Yeah,
it went.
It's exactly the way it went. And it was, what was crazy about the whole thing is that you're looking at five people who grew up in the business at a very young age,
yes,
who knew nothing but music, dancing, acting, and going to school on a set.
Mm-hmm.
To recording albums with like Dr. Dre and touring with Vanilla
Teddy
Ice
Riley.
And Teddy Riley and
Mitch
doing
Moore,
that.
We were
and then them sort of saying Hollywood Records, as easy as they started them, said, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And then sort of just threw them out into the world.
Yeah, but see,
and then
this is what's even
what
more
they
crazy
do?
About it a lot.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm telling you, it was. I'm thinking about it now, it was insane. And I think I was high because I smoked before I went. Because I go, this is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And we were in there, and I just remember going, this shit is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And then him going around saying, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And they asked me, he's like, oh, yeah, you know. And I said, I got to think about it. Like, it was just so insane. And
how am I supposed to know? I'm 17.
Yeah.
Most
because
kids at 17.
They didn't say, it's over. They asked us.
Of course.
Right.
But most kids at 17, it's like, what do you want to go do? You're like, I don't know what I want to major in, let alone what I want to do.
But
next.
In all fairness, and I say this with the utmost respect, Albert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a lot of egos too.
Oh yeah.
And you were one of the big ones.
Well, no, I didn't have any. See, everybody thinks I do because I say what the fuck I want.
That's not true.
That's absolutely true.
That is not true.
But I don't give a shit. But the thing about it was, I was sitting there just going, okay, well, what are we doing? And see, to me. Everybody says these things.
But you wanted to go solo.
No, I didn't want to do anything.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. See?
Listen, I've known you.
I should have.
How long?
But
I
didn't.
How many years? Almost 30 years.
You can know me 800 years.
Yeah, it's like a brother relationship.
Okay.
It's not just a
we were best friends.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, it was like.
I thought we were best friends.
Well, that's what you get for thinking, dude.
Yeah, see you later.
I made you lumpia.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. So, but there was a lot of ego at that point. I mean,
I didn't have one though. I'm telling you, I was completely shocked and utterly discombobulated when I went in that place. I swear to God, and because I couldn't believe it.
Well, let's agree to disagree.
Okay, because that's what we're gonna have to do. You're absolutely wrong. But yes,
I'm just letting you know.
Okay, hold on.
Let me ask you. Okay, so then what happened after that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, we literally.
I'll tell you what happened with. I'll tell you what happened with him, with Albert. Northridge earthquake happened.
Oh, I got the fuck out of here.
And he left.
So, but, oh no! But I'm gonna tell you an even bigger thing. You know what's even more crazy? Is I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like they offered me a deal. I didn't take it because that was all I knew was with them,
right.
And it was just fucking crazy to me. Then EMI offered me a deal too, and I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I kind of don't want to do anything.
Get offered an
idea. You know what I mean? I kind of just. I mean, you know what I mean? I kind of just didn't want to do it and wanted to rest, and everything was just insane. And so then, yeah, I was just here and I'm making music. I met my homeboy that I used to do music with, and we were
Shiro,
and doing some remixes and just doing, you know, working. And then, like he said, earthquake happened, and I got the fuck out of here. He left.
You were like, forget it.
Yeah. He left out.
And it was hard for him to get back.
Where'd you go?
He went back to Gary.
Yeah, I went back to Gary in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it was, it wasn't really hard for me to get back. It was just like, I don't have the same... Like, once you've done this and you see what it is,
yes,
and you know what people are, and anybody in this room who works knows... what this shit is.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to make a conscious decision to deal with it.
It's always a conscious decision to deal with it.
And that's why I'm telling you, I don't give a fuck about it.
I just don't want to do it.
So then you took a break. Dee Dee went ahead and you started doing auditions again. And you ended up...
I ended up auditioning for Miss Saigon.
The tour?
The touring company.
Right.
No.
And then that led to Broadway.
And you met your husband on
and
the
tour? I met my husband, Clifton, on the tour of Miss Saigon. I was 19 at the time. And,
wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we didn't get married right away. We were friends first.
But no, but you've been at 19? I didn't know it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And then you ended up on Broadway at 19?
I ended up on Broadway at 22. 19.
And then... What other Broadway shows? You did Wicked.
We did Wicked together as well.
Wow.
And If Then.
You did If Then.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But we're very fortunate to have been able to work. But Broadway musicals have been sort of our bread and butter since we met. And, you know, we've been trying to audition for television and film. You know, we moved out here from New York City, and I just have had no such luck for whatever reason.
But you're doing animated.
That didn't come until like just maybe 2014.
My son loves it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Steven Universe.
What's it called? Steven Universe? Yeah.
Steven
and who's
Universe.
Your character on Steven Universe?
I play Pearl. I voice for Pearl. But that's been such a blessing. It's such a great show, and it's been well received. But we're constantly auditioning.
Yep.
Trying to find the next gig.
And doing a show right now together.
We're doing a show.
Then they had an attempt to bring the party back.
So what happened with, how did this come about?
Well, in 2009 or 8, 8, 8, 2008.
I have no idea.
I get a phone call from Chase, who's asking me if I would be interested in getting the band back together. And at the time...
And this is like 20 years after...
Oh, yeah.
Ish, yeah.
Broken up. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like right at the 20-year mark.
It was literally at the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Because me and Chase were talking. It's basically what happened. And I was just like, you know what, man? It would probably be dope if we did.
I think it's because of the New Kids on the Block were going back on tour.
Sure.
All these 90s groups were going back on tour.
Right.
And we were like, hey, what? This would be like the perfect opportunity for 90s reunion.
And the music's great. The music's really good. I mean, you can get the music now, right?
Yeah. Oh, our current music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite song is from the first album, it's your duet.
Sugar Sweet?
Sugar Sweet.
Aww.
My very favorite song.
That was Jelly Bean Benitez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
was a good tune. You know what? I actually prefer our old stuff to the new stuff, if I'm being completely honest. No, I feel like our old music could have a comeback and still sound relevant today.
But you can't get it.
I'm just saying that if you could,
it'd be great if you could get it. If they had the if they released the library,
why couldn't they?
Why they don't have the library in iTunes?
No, I mean, I can't find it.
They can't do it.
Why?
Because they own.
They don't own it.
It's a very, very, very
Hollywood Records.
It's what I told you before. We were the template,
yes,
for what to do right, and what they did wrong. So if you open anything, it becomes a conundrum, a shit show of fuckery, so to speak.
That they're going to have to pay off.
So,
it's very
do you
want to
fight? Do you want to fight them, or do you?
Right, because it's like you guys were making music before iTunes ever existed. So
I mean, there was a point where I
old catalog.
There was a point where I was trying to do a reality show based on the party coming back.
Right, I remember.
And I
what happened to that?
Well, trying to get the library, no one will. You can't get the. We have to have, we have to do flashbacks with them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
No one's going to remember. Right. And getting that library is
And also, you have to remember, it's like what we talked about. We worked with huge producers.
Yeah. Right.
Dr. Dre.
Right.
Jelly Bean Benitez.
So who are still doing things.
Yeah. And they don't get a piece.
Right.
Yeah. So it's difficult. Believe me, they made smart decisions after dealing with us.
Yeah, I see.
You know, and so it's
it's so unfortunate. It makes me so sad. I'm sorry. Did I say that?
No, of course you can say that.
Only because I just feel like that music was so timeless.
Well, and here's the thing: you're 15 and 16. Yeah. You're just the conduit to singing this stuff. You weren't necessarily the one making all the business decisions.
Right. So
how are you to do anything differently?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what started to happen. It's like,
but it is you as an artist, right?
And well, I hated all that stuff. I can't stand any of it. You know what I mean? I always felt like it was, except for when I would do things that I wanted to do.
Right.
Other than that, I mean, I just thought it sucked because I'm not from that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I'm not from the fucking suburbs.
Yeah, but so Albert,
it was just. It wasn't cool to me.
But you still were coming from a place of the Mouse Club.
Yeah, but that was working.
You're still a Mouseketeer. You're always going to be
I don't have a problem with that. That's a job.
Right.
That's what it's always been.
Right.
So that's what I mean. It's like I don't have an attachment to that music.
And to bring it back to the Mouse Club, what Disney did by bringing that show back to that era was genius because it was a classic show that was built in the 50s, and it had, I mean, it was a formula that worked.
Yeah, it always worked. Yeah.
It always worked. If they brought it back tomorrow, it will work again easily.
Yeah.
Kids Incorporated was a spinoff of that kind of a, I mean, it just created a lot of these shows.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it'll always live in my generation, you know, for sure.
Same.
Yeah.
I was saying.
And that's the thing, you know, that's what I mean. Like,
I mean, Christina Aguilera is Christina Aguilera, but she's always going to be a Mouseketeer.
Yeah.
Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Carrie Russell.
No matter what.
Britney Spears, yeah. Ryan always Gosling.
Always going to be a Mouseketeer.
Always go back to that. Yeah. Where can we find you guys on social? If we want to check up on you, follow you, find out what you're doing.
What's your Instagram, Dee?
My Instagram is Dee Dee Magno Hall Official, and Twitter, Dee Dee Magno Hall.
Albert, nada, not on social at all.
But it's all private.
It's all private.
Yeah.
Oh, he went rogue.
He's always been like that.
He's rogue. Hey, a blast from the past is always interesting to me, but like, you know, knowing where you come from and kind of like how you got there and like experiencing that, it's an up and down. You know?
Trust me, this is a trilogy.
It's never ending.
No, yeah. I think we're catching with like the second part. I feel like there's a third and fourth part that we'll have to come back to.
Oh, there's 18
parts.
Have
you back on?
Telling you.
You know.
Telling you.
I just want to know when the next fair is that we can all come see you perform it. And we'll do live.
I'm still waiting for the 90s tour to come knocking.
You know?
You know?
But it is. A friend of mine just went to Boyz II Men /
New Kids on the Block slash Paula Abdul. I know. Paula Abdul.
I don't understand why you guys can't be opening for some of these shows.
Well, I can tell you why.
Okay, no, tell me just, why.
I won't, but I could. What's his name? Anyway, we're good.
But yeah. I'm telling you, it's a wave. You guys got to get on it because you're too good.
Yo, yo.
I'm Alaa Khaled. You can find me at Alec Led. Fuck off. Yeah.
And really? Thank you, Stephen Ray Morris, as always, for producing and editing for us. You can find him at Stephen Ray Morris on all social media. If you have any worst ever experiences or want to make a comment or an insight on today's podcast, you can email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yay, yay. Thank you.